listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
A swarm, this giant breathing black cloud burst.
Circle of the Vulture, we are coming from Taverna.
We are looking for the eggs of Aluhana.
I am Kaelin of the Vultures, sent them to investigate the disappearance of Aluhana. As I mentioned, it's an omen, a horrible, horrible omen lore. The entrails must be read to make sure of it. We will feast. I will read the entrail. All I need past that, small favor. I need to return to King Kadeen.
Who do we need to take them to?
There's a man by the name of Halfpence. As Kaelin begins digging into his chest and spreading it open, life feeds on death. And death renews.
Do you not have work early?
I don't know.
He's been doing nothing but playing fucking online poker day in and day out.
You winning money?
No, a fake poker. Well, play money poker. I'm learning the game, baby. Next time I play on a table, y'all better fucking watch the fuck out, dude. I'm studying the cards.
I'm in a meeting today, and like I'm like on a Zoom meeting, and I know that I have like three calls after this, and I gotta do this, do that, and it's fucking pouring rain outside, and I just like get a chance to look over at my phone. He sends a fucking screenshot of a straight flush. Like, what am I getting? Like,
I'm learning the deck. All right, I'm studying the deck. That's all you need to know.
The one that, and I love using them, but I always say he gives you a nod, walks away, gives you a nod. Gives you a nod, then he walks away.
That's so funny. That's kind of true. I would not have thought of that, but yeah, since you mentioned it.
And the other one that I use, and I use it way more in Delta Green, is purposefully obtuse, where I'll say, I'm being purposefully obtuse here. Right now, at this point in time, I'm being purposefully obtuse. I don't want you guys to think I'm not being descriptive. I'm just being purposefully obtuse. I say that a lot. And then the other one that they said was, the person who you believe is, or like in the home you believe is owned by, or like believe like that
yes.
layer of doubt when things aren't like 100% certain.
Who you believe to be Bobby Tillman.
The person you believe to be Bobby Tillman. The person you believe to be RJ, you know, that kind of stuff.
I feel like all those have a point though. Because like sometimes I'll be an asshole to you about that kind of stuff. Like, you're giving us like the answer?
I don't have any qualms about the usage in those ones. I obviously have qualms when I say like and a lot, but like those specific things, those are my cruxes. I always go to them, especially like he gives you a nod. I always say that. It's like, all right, I walk away. He gives you a nod and you walk away. Could I have a recap of the last session? So after feasting, Rook, Cree, and Levi sleep or try to sleep within Kaelin's tent. Honto on the outskirts meditates with a set of paints alongside him. With a few hours until Jorn's reading, I'm going to start with Honto and ask, what do you want to do?
So, in a similar fashion to all the other times I've meditated, I'm kind of planting myself pretty firmly on the ground. I mean, I guess it's a dune, so it's kind of like sinking into the sand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look at this, you know, the village, the tents, like in that direction. And start to meditate, but, you know, as I feel myself getting into it and, you know, most connected, I want to, you know, pick up my journal right in my lap and, you know, with my, my claws, just, I have like a watercolor kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of want to, you know, abstract. Honto is drawing where he sees himself.
He's feeling it, and this hypnagogic kind of dip in and out of this meditative state kind of slowly starts to envelop you and bring you into this meditative state. Moments pass, and these moments when you're in this meditative state feel a lot longer. What feels like a day, passes. But it also feels short. It feels like moments. Open your eyes to see the sun set a little bit further down. You would put it at maybe an hour, hour and a half, maybe two max have passed, with a painting that has been generated by your side, drawing what you see in your mind's eye within yourself. Looking at the painting itself.
So, I mean, just if there was a third person camera on the painting, it's just a total fucking mess of random ass colors, like watercolor, you know, it's like clouding together at different spots. It's just like a, I don't even know, very nebulous and just like tie-dye abstract.
It's a lot of natural colors from your color palette here, and all of it is bathed in this amber hue. The one thing as you're looking at this painting that surprises you, almost as if you don't remember seeing it or remember any kind of movements connected to drawing it, which you wouldn't in the meditative state, there's a single blotch of reddish orange that envelops the bottom left corner of this page. And it seems like a single thick stroke, but it's out of place and a little jarring based on the general composition.
Yeah, like very intentional.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll study that for a little bit and then head back to the camp when I feel like I'm done.
So what are you guys' plans in this tent?
Sweep.
Yeah.
Sweepy.
He's a...
Christ.
I'm Sweepy.
Are you with me, Sweepy?
Okay, we'll Sweepy.
So you guys just bedding down, going to sleep?
No, I want to go home after that. What the fuck?
You want to go? You're not Sweepy?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, you guys bed down. Based on your characters and based off of the survival skills that you need in order to make it every night in this desert, it's not hard to fall asleep when you have to, when you have to force yourself to. Just like a person in the military, they have that skill where on and off, it's like a switch you can flip, go right to sleep. I wish I had that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm in my fucking comfy ass bed with my fucking nice ass pillows, and it takes me 20, 30 minutes of rolling around to fucking fall asleep. But you guys, sleep comes easy enough. Honto, you return back to the tent to see this state. The three of them asleep. In various spots around this, the table is still there with a little bit of food still left on it, but around the edges of this tent are bedrolls, like I mentioned. What do you do when you step in this tent? Or are you doing something else before you go in here?
No, I would go right back to the tent. I see the three of them sleeping.
Yes.
I'm going to walk out and try and find Kaelin. Okay. I don't want to approach him. I just want to locate him.
Yeah. Okay. So you take some time walking around and you can see him down by the side. I mentioned last session as you guys were walking through here that there's a section of this camp that is blocked off by posted guards and a large solid fence. It's in like the middle left part of this camp. But you see walking away from this area is Kaelin, who does not recognize you or notice you or take a look at you. There's, you know, a sea of different people going about their business around here. But it looks like he's just walking around. It looks like he stops, talks to a person by his side, another guy over to the right who looks like he's, you know, stoking the coals of a fire. And Kaelin kind of puts his arm around him, says something that you're not able to make out. But you see him in the distance.
All right, I'll go back into the tent. I don't want to go to sleep, though.
Okay, you're just kind of keeping watch or just doing something else?
Just like sitting up, counting my rations, you know, killing the time to stay awake until this thing is going to happen.
Gotcha. Time passes, an hour goes by, another hour after that. You guys have been sleeping for 4 hours, and Honto, you feel like you've been sitting around here for maybe about two. Kaelin enters the tent and the tent flaps open up to reveal a scene behind him, which is night. Dusk has fallen as the purple hues begin to envelop the night sky and the stars begin to make themselves known. Kaelin steps in, sees you. We are ready to begin.
And I kick whoever the closest is to me.
Yeah, kick me. It might hurt.
It would probably be Kree. Just kind of Kree gets his fucking foot to his face, rocketing backwards. He dies on impact.
All right, I'm gonna head out.
I wake up.
Kaelin quickly exits.
What's going on?
It is time, apparently. Are you ready?
Suppose so. Grab my sword and I do my warlock hex on my sword.
Gotcha.
Get ready to walk out.
Levi and Rook rising as well?
Yeah, yep. Bring everything with me, all my
gear.
Gear, yeah.
Is anyone leaving anything in this tent?
No, I guess not.
Okay.
No.
Making your way out, you can see the darkness that is beginning to take hold. And it's this odd visage as you look up. And the night sky is black itself, but these silent birds, these swarming vultures high above, are dotting and blotting across the night sky. And the stars themselves almost look like they're flashing in the way a vulture would cover the view of one before it comes back. The people that you see nearby are solemn. Some of them are making their way to their own tents, going inside and closing the flaps behind them. Others are walking towards the center, back to this giant red rock. This area is lit by torches, some being held by the inhabitants of this camp, others which look like they're placed in sconces or braziers around. These braziers themselves are not made of metal. They look like they're made of some sort of treated wood as you pass by them, one that you kind of get close to, and you can see it. It's a smaller crowd now than compared to the first time that you witnessed this. It's about 20 or so, including yourselves. They are gathered, and slowly you see Kaelin make his way towards the front of this crowd and begin ascending the rock once again. Now, like I mentioned, there's stairs that are carved into this rock that lead to the top, so he's slowly beginning to make his way back up, and he's holding a torch in his hand as he climbs.
This, you described before, the birds, all these vultures that were, I don't know if they're vultures, but above, the swirling, are they directly above us right now?
If you look up, you can see them, but it's almost as if it's a cloud.
Okay.
It seems to be that far up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The few that you have seen descend down, particularly when the first half of Al-Dawakil took place and they came down to, you know, feast on Jorn, as well as any that you've seen interact with Kaelin or any that happen around the camp here that make their way down, do so coming from a high height.
Okay, but they spread, like, pretty much the entire area of the
and
camp.
And then some.
Okay.
Yeah. Kaelin continues climbing the stairs here, places the torch that he's holding in a brazier that's at the top. And he quickly whoosh, removes his cloak, folds it, places it on the top step before he approaches this carnage. And it's dimly lit. It's hard to make out, but you can still see the shiny reflections of guts and viscera atop this stone. He approaches this mess, gets on one knee, reaches his hand down and smears it in some blood, wipes it on his face. He's still on one knee and he begins to speak very quietly. You're not able to make anything out, but it looks like muttering as he has his eyes closed. He makes soft, rhythmic motions with his hands. Kree and Levi and maybe Rook too. It looks like he's casting a spell. He continues this for 30 seconds. Then a minute as the crowd continues to watch. He tenses up quickly. His arms shoot down to his side. His head cocks upwards towards the night sky, and his eyes roll to the back of his head, leaving nothing but these milky whites in his eyes. He vibrates for a moment as if his muscles are twitching in tandem before you hear this deep, resounding boom arcane explosion that erupts from the body on top of this rock. This purple energy shoots out, bright purple that lights up this scene, shoots out from the body, and it sends Kaelin rocketing off the rock. He falls backwards, down 20 feet, crashes to the ground below, and this purple energy that comes out begins to coalesce into a visage, this huge purple translucent vulture spreading its astral wings. Its body is comprised of interconnected constellations, and they twinkle in radiance. Closes its wings and sends three bolts of energy shooting out from within it, with another deep resounding thoom shooting out. Now, these bolts arc steeply and land on the ground below around the rock. As they make contact with the ground, rising up from where these three bolts land are spectral totems, intricately carved to depict stacked vulture heads and look similarly to the astral vulture, which is still gigantic and perched atop this rock. They pulsate. People around you look panicked, worried. And these totems begin to fire arcane bolts at the four of you. Everybody roll for initiative.
Jesus.
I'm setting up the map.
Changing the music on us? God damn. What, I gotta move the airheads? What the fuck? I didn't know it was that kind of session. Alright, I guess I gotta get this guy, this motherfucker.
Alright, initiative, give me higher than 20? 15 to 20.
20.
Ooh. 20 for Levi. 10 to 15.
11.
11 for Honto, 13 for Rook. And Kree, what did you get?
Seven.
This all happens rather quickly as this energy bursts out. The three bolts come out, hit the ground, and from where these bolts land, these totemic sculptures, translucent purple energy, firing arcane bolts at the four of you, shooting them out with intent. Now the crowd is quickly dispersing. Those who are unarmed are walking away. There are some guards who seem to be on the outskirts that are making their way towards you guys, but it looks like they're a ways away. Kaelin on the ground looks unmoving.
Walking, you said?
Making their way away.
Like, is it
quickly.
Odd?
Panic?
Or, okay, no. They are panicked.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a level of panic in this group here. So. Now, the way that these totems fall is almost in an arc. So it is away from where this rock is to almost centralize on the four of you. There are three of them in total. There's one that is farthest to the north to you guys, one that is closest to you guys, and one that is farther to the west to you guys. The closest one to you fires this arcane bolt shot out towards Honto. Honto, that's going to be a 6 to hit.
It's a miss.
Miss, deftly stepping out of the way as this arcane energy whizzes by you and connects with a fence behind you, blasting it, sending shards of wooden scrap shooting in all directions. Levi, you're up. What do you do?
Sure, I'm counting. Okay. From his pack, pulls out this same shell that you saw before, and he's going to aim for this big translucent vulture, which is within 120 feet. He's going to cast Firebolt.
Okay. Roll to attack.
With this shell. Nine
to hit. You rear back, shoot out a firebolt. It goes whizzing up on an arc, angled up 20 feet towards this spectral arcane visage of a vulture, and goes directly through it, as if there was nothing there at all. End of your turn, do you want any movement?
No. No. Okay.
Alright, next up, the totem that is farthest north from you guys is going to shoot a bolt of arcane energy. This one aimed at Levi. Natural one. You can see instead of a bolt coming out, it almost thumps this arcane energy that is grounded towards the ground and extends out and faints as it gets maybe 5 or so feet away from it. We go to Rook. And these totems themselves look as if they're radiating light. They're very bright, casting this sickly purple glow.
Only because if we're looking at the projection, I feel like we'd all make the same look. Is the corpse, like, still there?
I would say with your...
Like, we're all...
Yeah, I mean, being attentive to the situation, yeah, you can see it. You can see it, and this visage at the top of this stone is casting a similar glow, and you can see Jorn's corpse still there.
It's not like he got evaporated to do this.
Doesn't seem so.
I don't really know what to do. I'll cast Thorn Whip on... Should I be trying to hit this guy or that? Or like one of the...
I mean, would they have seen what I just did?
Yes. Yeah, everybody sees
You shot at this guy.
Levi's firebolt go through and through.
And he looked like he wasn't there.
Alright, I'm going to cast Thorn Whip on the totem.
The closest totem to you guys?
Yeah.
Are you within range?
Yeah, 30 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's a roll to attack?
Yeah, so melee spell attack, is that just my spell save?
No, well, so it's going to be a roll of the d20 plus whatever your spell attack modifier is.
Okay, so it's 25 on that.
25 hits, go ahead and roll damage.
Alright, so the damage...
Did you say on that?
Yeah.
25 on that, like he's got a 25-sided die.
6.
Okay. 6 points of damage. Thorn Whip is just 1d6.
So it does something to the totem? Or do I just not really know?
What does...
Yeah, it's 1d6.
1d6. Read Thorn Whip to me just to be sure.
You create a long vine-like whip covered in thorns that lashes out at your command toward a creature in range. Make a melee spell attack against a target. If the attack hits, the creature takes 1d6 piercing damage, and if the creature is large or smaller, you pull the creature up to 10 feet closer to you. Oh, I pull it? I mean, I guess I can't really pull it, but that's what it says.
So, here's what happens. You see this vine extend out of Rook's leafy, you know, kind of vegetative cactus body coming out of like his wrist. This viney, thorny branch whips out, smacks this totem, and you can see shards, almost as if it's like glass, breaking off this purple translucent color and fading away. The vine itself wraps around, and you try to pull it, but it does not move.
Okay, well.
Do you want to move?
Yeah, I want to move back a little bit. I'm just going to go here. Wait, what's this?
5, 10, 15, 20.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Stepping back, separating yourself from the other three. Next, we are going to go to the totem that is farthest to the west. So, this totem, similar to the two before it, is going to fire a bolt of arcane energy. This one's going to be aimed at Honto. That's going to be an 18 to hit.
Got fucking two bolts shot at me. Oh, that hits.
Okay. You are going to take 1 point of necrotic damage. Just this almost thin shard of glass that shoots out, makes contact with you, and you can feel it like burn, but there's no piercing on your skin, and the energy that hits you quickly dissipates. That's the end of its turn, and we go to Honto.
Okay. Before I do anything, I guess we can set this precedent now of climbing in combat. So, I don't want to move my guy. If I were here, right, so 5, is that 5 to get up end on it, or is that 10?
That is 10, because essentially what you're doing is going up and over.
So it takes 40 feet of movement to get to the top of that?
If you start from there, yeah. But if you go around to the other side, the farthest side of it, essentially what you would be doing in this instance is climbing up and getting onto the first step.
Am I able to... Is this rock climbable on the this side?
For you, yes. You have a climb speed, yeah.
Well, no, I mean... Okay. I mean, it's not like it's a fucking flat rock with no footings at all, and it's like, take
no,
the stairs
are,
up and that's
it. There
are
some handholds on it. Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. Yeah, I can make it, so...
5, 15, 25, 35, and then we would go 55, right?
55 feet of movement to get to the top. So you are face to face with this thing, deftly climbing up the side of this rock, up 20 feet, and you see it, this creature, this astral projection of this vulture, and it looks very detailed. You can see each individual feather on its astral wings glisten and glow. What do you do?
Honto's a little freaked out this close, and he kind of climbs up, stays real low, tries to like disregard it almost, and he just wants to grab Jorn and just fucking throw him off the rock.
Okay.
Like grab him by one limb and just like...
Alright, that's gonna be your action though.
Yes.
Okay, so quickly grabbing Jorn by the leg and throwing him off the rock, the body makes this sickening squishing sound as it falls 20 feet down below. His guts and organs begin to spill out and flop all over the place. That's the end of your turn. You have not seen any immediate changes in the environment or this creature that stands before you. We are going to go now to the visage itself. You are face to face with it. I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
21.
Let me look something up real quick. Someone give me a pH motherfucking B, dog. So, you passed. You are going to take... Ooh. You're going to take 7 points of thunder damage as the visage casts Thunder Wave. You saved, and you can feel yourself beginning to kind of take a step back as this force sends you rocketing back, but you're able to keep your footing and not get pushed off the top. That's the end of its turn. We go to Kree.
Am I able to see that visage, Thunderwave, Honto? He is kind of they are like on the high ground.
Do you have Thunderwave as a spell?
No.
You see that spell get cast.
Okay. Fuck, I can't really help you out there. I will walk up to the same totem that Rook Thornwhipped. I'm going to walk up to it, if someone could move me.
Yeah, that's going to be the closest one. So,
5?
Yeah, taking and then you're, the 5-foot step directly ahead.
And I want to attack it with my sword. Yeah, I might as well just use Booming Blade, too, while I do it.
Okay, casting Booming Blade.
Would I get advantage with this, with the positioning, or if I move up one, would there be advantage, or?
No, there's no possible flank positioning.
Okay. Whew. 25.
Natural or not natural?
That's a not natural.
That hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay. Thirteen
points of damage. Kree raises his sword above his head and comes down with a decisive strike that shatters the totem. The light fades and this astral arcane energy dissipates into the sand below and it disappears.
Sweet.
You have a little bit of movement if you'd still like some. And can someone please erase that little dot?
I would like to move up the rock as as best as I can. I've already used 5 feet of movement.
Gotcha. Closer to the edge of the rock.
Which?
Like, if I could go
which
up.
Which edge? Here?
Yes, I want to. Next, I plan on ascending the rock, so.
Closer to the edge of the stairs there. So it would be 10.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Plus 5, you're at 30 here.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Face the rock, you're at 30.
Kree scurries his way after smashing this totem to bits and pieces of arcane energy.
No, that was good.
Standing at the base of the steps.
Yep.
Okay, end of your turn. We come to Kaelin. Comes to consciousness, begins to try to stand up. Kaelin's going to use half his movement to stand up. Thank you. He is also going to use the rest of his complement of movement, which is going to be 15 feet, and rush towards the edge of the stairs and shout, "Get away from it! Get away from it! Focus on the totems!"
Does he start walking up the stairs?
If he has the movement to do so, yeah.
Yes, 15 feet will get him up.
Yep. Okay. Kaelin begins ascending the stairs. We go back to the top of the round. Levi, you're up.
Taking a shot then with Firebolt at this totem furthest west.
Okay.
Nineteen
hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
Eight points of damage.
I'm sorry, what was this, Firebolt?
Yes.
Arcane energy shoots out of your hand, causing this caustic flame to envelop the totem. The flames lick up the side of it, and you can see it melt. Shards of this arcane glass hit the sand and dissipate, but it is still standing. End of your turn, or do you want to move?
No, I'm staying where I am.
Okay, end of your turn. We go to the furthest north totem, who is going to fire a bolt of arcane energy at Kree. Kree, you are towards the base of the steps, and as you're about to take a step on, Kaelin rushes in front of you, and it looks like he's rushing up the steps. He says what he says, and then this totem is going to shoot a bolt of energy at you. It's going to be a 19 to hit.
Hits.
Okay. You are going to take 4 points of necrotic energy as this bolt shoots out. Ricochets itself up your armor plate. What armor are you wearing?
Leather armor
kind of rises up and almost like coaxes itself across the creases at the top of your breastplate. That's the end of its turn. We go to Rook.
Okay. I'm gonna do this. Wait, is that totem gone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The closest totem to you guys was destroyed by Kree.
So it's this one.
And that furthest north one has taken no damage so far.
I'm gonna run up on it.
Okay, closing the distance between you.
What, 5, 15.
Yep.
What's this, 25?
Yep.
I can hit from here?
You can.
Okay.
Closing the distance between you and the northernmost totem.
I will cast Shillelagh? How do I say that?
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh?
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh.
So,
cast Shillelagh.
What that does is imbues one of your weapons and increases the power of it.
Yeah.
So what weapon is this?
My club.
Your club?
I have a great club.
Okay, casting Shillelagh, and everyone can see these vines and flowers begin to envelop this club that he's holding in his hands, imbuing it with arcane energy. That's an action, or is it a bonus action? I think it's a bonus action.
One bonus action.
Yeah, so that's your bonus action to cast that.
And then I can hit it?
Yes, go ahead and make an attack.
My club. And I use my spellcasting ability instead of my strength, which will be 24
to hit.
23
to hit. Go ahead and roll damage. That hits.
And that will be a d8. It already is a d8 though.
Then that's fine.
So it doesn't really do anything for me.
It makes your attacks magical, and instead of adding your strength modifier, you add your wisdom modifier to the attack roll. That's why you use Shillelagh.
Yeah. Okay. All
just right. Makes well, it easier
three.
To hit. Yep.
Three
points of damage. Okay. You know what? I kind of overrode you there in describing what your Shillelagh looks like. What is it actually? What does it look like? Because basically what this spell is imbuing a staff or something with
magical, basically.
But with the power of like nature. It's a strictly druidic thing. So what does it look like?
I would say like vines kind of wrap it up, and there's also like a floating like sand that comes around it. Mm. There's like a sand and like lotus flowers, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, kind of undulating and like growing and blooming.
But
this,
like the vines
stuff.
Are like thorn vines.
Gotcha. End of your turn. You have 5 more feet of movement if you wish to take it.
Yeah, I'll go here.
Okay, just sidestepping after you make that attack. Next is going to be the westernmost totem, which is going to shoot an arcane energy bolt at Levi. Levi, that's going to be a 17 to hit.
That hits.
You are going to suffer 2 points of necrotic damage as this bolt hits you square in the chest. End of its turn, and we go to Honto.
Does the diagonal 5 feet on the first diagonal movement count? Like, if I was scaling a wall and I wanted to diagonally go up and to the right, would that first one be 5 feet as well?
I accept that.
Cool. Okay, so I'm up here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to climb down, it would be 20.
Yes.
Right? So I could climb down to here, and it'd be 20.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go 30.
Okay. So, scuttering down off of the rock face, making your way to the opposite side from where the stairs begin. On the farthest side, now your back faces the northernmost totem. Anything you want to do for your action?
Can I prepare a dodge on a ranged attack? Like,
can you prepare
like for a stance to
in a ranged attack? Yes. Well, you can take the dodge action, which makes all attacks against you have disadvantage.
I mean, that works with a ranged. It's not just like a melee dodge.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Okay. Taking the dodge action. We go now to the visage, which seemingly does nothing. Kree, you're up.
I will turn around and try to... 5, 10, 15. Yeah, I'll move the 15 feet to the totem. The southwest totem.
Gotcha. The furthest west totem. 15, 20.
There, do you want to go 20?
Sure.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My mic wasn't on. 20.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I want to do the same thing. I want to...
Booming blade?
Cast. Yes, booming blade.
Okay, roll to attack.
21.
21 hits, roll damage.
10 damage.
Small yet mighty Kree once again strikes down a totem which shatters into this purple arcane glass, disappearing into the sand below. End of your turn?
Yeah.
Okay. We go now to Kaelin, who is going to continue climbing the stairs. 10, 5, 10, 15 feet. He's going to go face to face with this visage, this spectral, astral vulture, and he begins casting a spell. That's the end of his turn. We go to Levi.
Do I have a direct shot at that?
You would have to move 5 feet to the
20.
East. That works. Yep.
Okay.
All right, you have direct line of sight to all right, the farthest
totem. Another fireball attack at this.
Okay, go ahead and roll to attack.
20 not natural.
20 not natural hits. Go ahead and roll damage. No one has rolled under a 15, I think.
I rolled a 9 on my first attempt.
Fuck.
Is that? Oh.
Just thought of something after the battle.
Dumb as shit. Rolled a 0 on a d10 and I got mad at myself.
He said, oh, I got a 0!
is Firebolt a d10? That's sick.
Yeah. Nice. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 fire damage.
Gotcha. So 10?
Yes, 10.
Okay. Levi, describe this kill for me, bud.
It sees that this thing's a little bit weak and sees that it's kind of imbued into the ground after this thorn whip wasn't able to move it. So he takes this shell and he's aiming it right at the base, trying to take this thing the fuck out of the dirt, trying to really uproot it. And fires it in to try to take out as much of the ground too as possible that this thing's embedded into.
Sand gets shot up in the air as this firebolt connects, and you can see from the bottom to the top, it begins to disintegrate into this glass, spectral, purple material and disappear. End of your turn.
20 feet of it? Like 10? Just taking 10 towards the tower.
Gotcha. Taking 10 feet of movement closer to the spiral ascension up to the top of this rock. End of your turn, we go to Rook.
I'm going to...
In the middle of battle?
Yeah, I don't know if this will do anything, but I might as well. I'm gonna go up here. I'm gonna cast guidance on my guy.
Okay. Rising up, stepping up, reaching out, touching a hand onto Kaelin's back, and casting guidance. And you see him wincing as he's casting the spell and look to you and kind of give you like a sideways smile, look back, and continue casting this spell. End of your turn, we go to Honto.
15, 20. When I'm walking by, though, I want to look up at the astral projection. Is this... Does it look like it's facing and is engaged with Kaelin?
Yes, as you kind of step around the spire itself, you look up and it looks like it is facing Kaelin.
Okay. So,
I see as if Kaelin has its attention.
Yeah. So I keep going, Cass. I want to... I'll go to, like, here, I guess. That's still...
Towards the base of the steps.
Yeah. I want to investigate Jorn.
Okay, roll investigation.
Lovely. A one. Not Nat. A one.
That's a motherfucking dead body. And one of the reasons why you're not able to glean too much is because it's not even recognizable as a body at first. It is torn and shredded beyond recognition. It looks like a thing that was a man that has now been completely torn apart by vultures for the last 4 hours.
Did you check his pulse, though?
Just like a finger. Big toe.
Guys, I think he might be done for.
End of your turn, the visage is going to act. It is once again going to cast Thunder Wave. Now, Kaelin is in range of it. Rook, you also are as well, so I need you to roll a constitution check, or a constitution saving throw for me.
What is it, 15? 10?
I can't tell you. You don't know.
Well, he didn't say me.
Actually, no.
It's not what I am.
I think we can kind of gauge the distance.
It's like when a 14 hits, but a 15 doesn't. Or vice versa, I mean.
14.
14? Okay. You're going to take half of this. Okay. Rolling for Kaelin as well. Guidance is added to ability checks.
Yeah, his.
Not saving throws. Are saving throws ability checks? I don't think they are.
I don't think they are. I think it's very specific saving throw.
Add the number of roll to one ability check of its choice.
I think they're different, right?
Just ability check.
I feel like I go to Alex on this. He's not even paying attention. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit.
I'm paying attention and I care. I don't think it
No,
counts.
Guidance is strictly for ability checks, and even though it technically is like a constitution check, it's a constitution saving throw. Saving throws and ability checks are different, so he is not going to add guidance to this. So let me actually roll for him. He saves anyway. So you're going to take half of this, like I said. You are going to take 5 points of thunder damage.
Half of five?
That is half. Okay. It was 11. Rounded down. You're going to take 5 points of thunder damage, and you see this shockwave come out enveloped in this purple energy, and it strikes you, and you see it strike Kaelin too, who's wincing now. He is going to make a check to maintain concentration on the spell that he is currently casting, and he succeeds. Reaching out, you can still see him finishing up trying to cast this spell. We go to Kree.
I'm sorry, are there any other totems left?
No.
Okay, yeah, I'll try and climb up too. Like as high as I can without getting in the way of anybody, if that's possible.
Beginning to ascend up.
Are you straight, like, climbing this side, or are you going the stairs?
I don't think I can climb, so I'll do the stairs.
You can with an athletics check. You just can't with it because you don't have a climb speed. You can't do it automatically.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll try and climb it.
Okay, go ahead and roll athletics for me.
17.
17, yeah, he's able to climb it if he wants.
5, 10. Is that 15 or is that 15?
The lower.
15, 20, 25, 30.
30 puts him right on the edge with his hands hanging on the edge.
I'm not going to move.
Yeah, but that's essentially where you are.
Yeah. In the very top.
Kree deftly being able to find these handholds and footholds, scudders his way up.
Didn't we say that going diagonal is...
Is he going upwards in diagonal?
Yes.
15.
Because he didn't use his diagonal yet.
I'm going to just dock 5 points of movement because he's using an athletics check to do it and he doesn't have a climb speed. And I think there's actual rules for it. I think you move at half speed when you're climbing or something like that.
Okay.
And I don't feel like looking it up. Call on the fly. I'm a good DM. End of your turn, Kree. We go to Kaelin, who is going to complete his spell casting. You guys see this energy begin to coalesce as if Kaelin is siphoning this spectral necrotic energy from this visage being sucked slowly into Kaelin, and you can see this link beginning to form between the two of them, and it's quickly severed. The visage at the top explodes, shatters out. Beads of arcane energy shoot out in all directions and begin to come down to earth softly. No one takes any damage, no one feels any force, but this creature disappears. We are out of combat. Catching his breath, Kaelin goes down to one knee, looks over off the edge and sees Kree, and reaches his hand out to pull you up.
Raise my hand up for him to pick me up.
And he pulls you up over the edge. And Kaelin is just... He looks exhausted as he quickly sits down and looks over the edge down towards Jorn's body that Honto threw off of there. And he's just panting. He's just catching his breath. What are you guys doing?
I look around, like, back towards the crowd, and then turn back, and I'm like, what was that?
Quickly, you see, as you look around towards the crowd, people who are armed are now closing the distance, getting closer, and they're only approaching closer to the edge as you guys are talking. 6 seconds around a combat. Don't give me that face, Mike Finn.
No, I was genuinely asking, like, were they fully... Do we think they were full force trying to help?
Seems like... I'll have you roll it. Yeah, roll insight.
Okay. 16.
Heroism shrouded in a layer of fear.
Okay.
Kaelin looks at Kree and just, like, you can see his hair is, like, in his face and he's trying to fix it. He's still got blood smeared on his face. There's, like, a big bruise that you see up his side because with his cloak off, he's only wearing what looks like this light tunic. And he just looks at you. She is excited at the prospect of what I've seen. Wakila. Her beak yearns for the carving of unmoving flesh that is to come. A vision. Visceral and vivid. The smell of Fisera hangs yet in my nostrils. Battlefields. Thousands. Food for the Carrion's War. Slow and steady makes its march to these lands. An ulcer sours beneath the sands, a blister filled with pus, needing only the prick of a pin, a scramble for something. Some things, not land or riches, but something else. The pot boils not over, but it has been placed onto the fire. I've seen it. I've seen it. His feet are just kind of dangling off the edge as he's talking.
I'm sorry, I'm not an above grounder like you are, but is he making sense, or was that just... What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? I look at the cactus man. Do you understand what he's saying? I don't. I'm very confused.
No, not really, Kaelin. What do you mean?
You see the figures who were approaching, these armed guards, step towards the edge down 20 feet below Kaelin and look up and shout, Kaelin, are you all right? And he, like, ignores them and looks back at you. Showed a vision of war. And it's coming.
War between who? Who is going to fight? And
he stands up, begins trying to walk his way down the stairs. And you guys are pretty much blocking the stairs at this point.
I'll let him pass. I'll step to the side.
Kaelin, why did it attack us?
He's still walking his way down. I do not know. And I do not know who this war is between or what they are fighting over, but it is coming. It is not coming tomorrow. Thank you for doing what I asked. And he stops near the bottom of the steps and looks back as the guards come up close behind him, and they look like they're, like, checking him for, like, wounds or anything like that, but he's looking at the four of you as he's talking. Torchlight still illuminating the scene. The god we worship is named Wakila. And some say she was created from the battlefield itself. From the thousands dead that lay and the vultures that ate upon them. So she relishes another opportunity. There's nothing you need to be concerned about. Not now, at least. If you still intend to hold up your end of the bargain, delivering the antitoxins that I need, you can meet me in my tent while I attend to Jorn and the rest of my men. I thank you for what you did, and I'm sorry you had to experience that.
Would you say that purple magic, like, resembled Kree's purple magic?
No, it was vastly different. Vastly different. Not only in the way it was expressed and shown and, like, visually, but also the way that it felt. You know what your own magic feels like. This was vastly different.
Okay, cool.
What do you guys do?
Can Levi kind of take two steps, have the guards kind of passed him at this point? Because he was never on the rock.
Yeah.
Kind of take two steps back and kind of sneakily look behind him, make sure that he's not being stared at.
Yeah, doesn't look like anyone's staring at you.
So these tubes that I have that I carry with me, they're kind of on this, like, chain. I want to lower one, raise one up on my shoulder almost, like, uncomfortably so the other side can hang down and touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take out this salt-looking, like, powder that I have and spread it in a small circle, looking around me like I'm almost like, I don't want to get caught, like, littering.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly open the tube that's attached to the ground and look up towards these birds and looking to see, not to capture, but to see if there is an ability to capture any of these souls, if they are souls above me.
All right. So here's the question, and this is an interesting question that I've been wanting to ask. The devices that you have on your persons, soul capturing in general. Does the body need to be deceased in order for the soul to be captured? Because I believe they would.
Yeah. Yes, the body would need to be deceased. Yeah, it cannot capture living creatures as they are.
So then I'm also going to continue that and saying that I don't want to set a precedence for you to be able to tell if a creature has a soul or not until you kill it.
Yes, the question was that the thought behind it was that these beings are whatever the husk that was just torn apart by vultures that's laying on the ground now. That's 100 of them, hundreds of them above me.
Does not seem to be the case.
Okay.
Or they have no souls to capture if they are already dead.
Okay, yeah, and wasn't attempting to capture. Just checking.
Yeah, no, just like a little like turning the faucet just like a little bit to see if the water's working.
Yeah, slowly mixes with the sand, the salt that he placed on the ground.
Kicks it back, covers it up. What are the rest of you guys doing?
I want to hobble over to the front gate, drop my bags right there, and meditate, waiting to leave.
Okay, gotcha. Cree. Rook.
I'm getting down off this fucking rock.
Yeah. Kaylin's still kind of standing around looking at you guys, expecting a response or some reply.
I look at Kaylin and... We'll meet you back at your tent soon. Gather our thoughts real quick first.
Gives a nod as you notice two guards begin to drag off Jorn's corpse. Kaylin looks around, gives you guys a nod, and begins to follow them dragging the corpse. It looks like they're taking it to that place that I mentioned before, this blocked off portion of the camp. You guys notice Honto carrying his bag step towards the front exit, or I guess the entrance to this camp, meditates on the ground. The three of you, not counting Honto, are still standing around.
What do you guys want to do from here? That was quite the episode. I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, we got everything we need, right?
I think so.
Somebody have the eggs?
No, I don't think so. I think we have to go to the tent.
He did not give us the eggs yet.
Why we have to go to the tent. Us?
Yeah, I start to follow this group and set it out. This group of his soldiers and him.
Yeah. So it seems like they're walking further into the camp.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to follow behind them. What are you guys doing?
You following?
Oh, yeah, I'll follow.
Hop in the satchel.
Okay. I'll just walking. Yeah, and I'll just be like, "Honto, we are going to the tent." Just shout it.
Okay. And I sit there.
Okay. The figures walk over to this gate that leads to the spot that you guys have not seen yet. The gate opens. You guys, as you guys were talking, they obviously closed the distance, so as you guys approach, you aren't able to see in there. As the guards dragging Jorn's body step in and the gate closes, Kaylin behind them looks like he says something to one of the people who are stationed there and begins walking his way to his own tent. Now, you guys are still lagging behind maybe 15, 20 feet as it looks like he's stepping into his tent, moving the flap, stepping inside, and the flap closes behind him.
Start walking in. I'm not gonna stop walking.
Walking in and you step in to see him continuing his walk in, and it looks like he walks towards the back of this this tent with the table still set up, the bed rolls all around the side. He walks over to the chair that he was sitting at and gets on one knee and pulls out what looks like a trunk, like a chest, places it on the table, flips a latch, flips it open, looks over as you guys step in, reaches in, pulls out a bag, opens the bag, reaches in, pulls out some dust, puts it back in the chest, and pulls the drawstrings on the bag, and he raises the bag up, looks towards Rook, and says, "This is 2.5 eggs, as promised."
I grab it. And I say,
"Thank you very much."
"As for my favor," and he reaches in and he has this, looks almost like a roll of leather, and it's bound by what looks like a strip of leather. These vials that need to be delivered in King Kadeem. They're made of glass. This protective case should... And he kind of like trails off as if like he's in thought. Shakes it off. Should keep them safe. And he hands it out to you.
I take it and put it in my satchel with with Kree.
Kree, you kind of grab onto it. And then he reaches back into the chest and pulls out something else. It looks like a coin. Copper coin. Go back to King Kadeen. Go to the Lazaret. It is an import yard in the dock ward. Give this to any of the dock workers there, and they will take you to meet Halfpence. Those vials are to be delivered to him. And he flips the coin over to Levi. You catch it?
Yeah.
What's his name again?
He said Halfpence.
And it was in where?
The dock ward in King Kadeen, an import yard called the Lazaret.
You ever think about taking this whole show on the road? Getting these boys to see the world? Toughen them up a bit. If there's one next to me, kind of pat him in the middle of the chest plate.
Kalen, who does not laugh as I did, just kind of shakes his head. World is a dangerous place. We're safe enough here. It's a defensible position.
But you're okay just letting the rest of the world go about the business, the war, you see?
I don't know who this war is between or when it will take place. Only more readings can tell. I have to travel to Talverna, get my men that were there.
See if any of them need to be, you know.
He just like looks at you. As far as travel goes, we came here because the vultures are here, not the other way around. And although I may have wishes joining the civilized world beyond, my tribe does not think the same way. I thank you for what you've done, and I again apologize for what you had to go through. Al-Dawakil does not end like that, ever. But there are stories. I'll have to consult with the elders. Perform more readings. But it's not bode well. Aluhana leaving. I saw it, an omen of war, and perhaps I am right. If you speak to Halfpence when you deliver those vials, tell him that I want double next time.
Yeah, no problem. So, about our mission, you don't have any problem us giving them eggs to them boys down south?
Makes no difference to me.
Fair enough. Man of your people, I see. Alright. Good doing business with you.
I'll follow you out.
Are there actually guards in here?
There are two that stepped in, like, later as this conversation was going on.
How close are they to us?
Keeping their distance, maybe like 10 or so feet.
I want to wait until we step out of the tent, and then I want to say something to them. Like, I want to poke my head out of that pouch and, like, place my hands on Ruck's shoulders, like, finesse between his mm-hmm. pricks on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I have to ask before we part ways. You don't seem so fond of this concept of war, but Wakela, you say, seems to want it. Are you not the leader of this circle, of the Circle of Vultures?
Of that I am. And although my god would relish in it, it's complicated. I love nothing more than to see the vultures eat, but at a cost like that, I think it'd be too high. I do not like war, no.
But will you still follow your god's wish blindly?
Her wish is to take over and feast on the corpses that are left behind. Whether it is many or few, it makes no difference. As long as my people are safe, perhaps we can pick up the pieces.
Your men picked up the scraps of Jorn just outside.
Yes.
Those are the pieces that you're picking up.
Jorn knew what he did. I've said it before. He was well aware. Wherever Jorn is now, I'm sure he's very pleased with this outcome.
I hope you trust your gut and not your god. And I slip back into the sack.
Rook gets like a little bit like like when he says that he's like, oh, where's your manners kind of thing, and he kind of like literally like stuffs him almost like he goes back in, but he like kind of
mind
like
your that. Manners
yeah, and Rook's like kind of like looks at him.
I'm sorry about him, Kaelin. He just, he's a very opinionated guy, but I respect your ways.
Rook, he's not wrong.
I suppose.
So Kaelin is following you guys as you're walking out. The two guards kind of peel off and go in other directions as it's just the four of you as you approach Honto, who's still meditating. I would say that meditation is really, really hard to come by, especially after what has happened, and being able to separate yourself from that situation that quickly is something that would take a little bit more time than what's passed by. Maybe you're like right on the cusp of hitting a meditative state as you hear footsteps approaching.
I want to tune it out until someone... I'm not in my state, you know, but I want someone to... Honto, you know.
The person who tunes it out is actually Kaelin, who says, what is your name, Tabaxi?
I get up, I brush some sand off, turn around. I come from the bog. My name is Honto. And I, as I'm talking, I want to rip out a page of my journal. And it's a page I painted.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot grasp what you and your people do and believe in. It is beyond me, but... You, I point at him, I point behind him at the tents. Them, I point up. Even them, you're all lost. Not for good, just off of the path that you should be on. And I push the paper onto his chest. Not too aggressively, but like, nice pat.
And he grabs it, puts his hand like on top of your hand for a second, and then his other hand comes up and grabs the paper, and he looks at it for a second, and as he's looking at it, he speaks. I find that fairly ironic. You think my people lost, for Keela has asked me to grant you guidance. A great flame is crawling its way to you specifically. And why Wakila finds it fit for me to impart this unto you is beyond my grasp. But she wants me to tell you to beware a man who wears your skin.
And so she knows too, no?
He just kind of looks at you blankly.
Kaelin, thank you for your hospitality. But she did not get one thing right. Just one. I crawl to the flame. The flame does not seek me.
Folds up the painting and sticks it into his pocket. The four of you are welcome back whenever you find fit. I wish you luck in your journey back. Goodbye.
Thank you, Kaelin. It was great meeting you, and I start walking away.
Let's go, Rook.
Levi, Honto?
Yeah, start walking.
Back into the desert under the cover of night, the four of you leaving the circle of vultures in the distance, entering the dunes once more on a return to King Kaedin, and that is where we're going to pick up next session.
Listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.